Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the Gamer Talk podcast. Sebastian Cousins is my guest today. He is my first non-artist guest on the show. Pretty happy to have you, Sebastian. Hello.
Hey, nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
So, Sebastian is the talent acquisition partner at Massive Entertainment in Malmö. So Sebastian, give us a short introduction of yourself. What are you doing?
Yeah, hi, everybody. And my name's Sebastian, as you said, but... Backstory, I'm originally from the UK, grew up in Manchester, which is a big city in the north, studied psychology at university, and then ever since then I've been working with HR roles, but primarily recruitment. Mm-hmm. And I worked in different industries from outsourcing to pharmaceuticals, but now most recently with Massive Ubisoft in Sweden. And I've been working as a recruiter for projects like The Division, Avatar, Star Wars, and mainly recruiting for art and design roles.
Okay, so you're only doing art stuff.
A little bit of everything, but primarily art and design.
Okay, so there are other people in the company that are hiring programmers, for example, or
game design stuff. We have a pretty big team, I'd say. Mm-hmm. 4 full-time recruiters, a manager, and some recruitment coordinators. And we have a lot of recruits every year.
Okay, so this is your first job in the games industry, or did you...
Did you work
on other studios? No.
No. This one at Massive is the first one in the games industry. Obviously, lots of experience before with recruitment. But I was living in Malmö at the time, and I was commuting across to Copenhagen and working for a outsourcing pharmaceutical recruitment company. And Massive was this huge brand in Malmö, which is the town I was living in, and you know, a huge brand in games. So they had a big pull, and I was looking to move back in-house and be, you know, that's a big terminology in recruitment. Basically means you're hired by the same company that you recruit for. And yeah, I applied here I am.
Okay, so maybe give us some experience. So what is different in the hiring process in games? Or maybe is there something you can say that is completely different to other industries? Hmm.
Well, just maybe a bit more general, but the biggest thing I noticed was how nice everybody is. I worked in many different industries, but here, I guess for almost everybody, it's a passion project. And everyone's so excited about what they're doing, and they're so happy to come to work. And that kind of is contagious in the best sense of the word.
Okay.
So yeah, people are super friendly and kind and open. But in terms of the process, I think tests are more mandatory in the games industry is something I've noticed. Mm-hmm. But besides that, I think the typical interviews and things like that is fairly typical.
Okay. Yeah. About the tests, we'll speak later on. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, let's say I apply for a artist position at Massive. What are the main qualities that you're looking for when hiring artists?
Yeah. Again, just to maybe take a step back, I think the same qualities that make a good artist make a good anything. If you're dedicated to your craft and always learning and developing your skills, if you're a good communicator and you can collaborate with people, maybe not every day, but if you can work in a team, if you're motivated for what you're doing, and you know, if you're a good person, however you want to define that. So those would be the broader things. But for an artist, relevant experience. You know, have you worked in other studios? Have you worked on big projects similar to the projects we have? Have you worked in the lead studio, or have you worked in outsourcing? There you see some differences. Mm-hmm. Is your portfolio up to date? Is it full of good quality? I mean, those would just be some things.
Okay. Yeah, and also technically, right? This needs to be on a good level to start in the games industry.
Yeah, but that, of course, you could tell from the artwork itself.
From anything, right? Yeah. So is there anything you want to add?
I'm sure there's more, but one thing is, you know, Massive's art style is very realistic. Mm-hmm. So if you apply with a portfolio of stylized characters, maybe it's not so relevant. So you need to showcase similar work as to what you would be doing here, basically.
Yeah, and... before I watched the 5 tips video from the Massive page where you give 5 tips for applicants. One thing was also that really came to my mind was you really need to specialize. You need to focus on something.
Yes.
And yeah. get good at that, right?
Yeah, especially if you want to go for AAA.
Yeah, and there's the bigger studios, right?
Yeah, there's so many people working on one project that, you know, if you're a 3D artist at school or in a junior position where you're doing everything, characters, concept, maybe you're doing environments, that won't be the case in a studio like Massive. At Massive, you really need to hyper-specialize in one particular area. It doesn't mean you have to stay in that area forever, but per job, per project, it's more similar, that more familiar, more common that you would just have one specialty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have like one person for, or more persons for one specialty. Let's say one is doing foliage, one is doing rocks, one is doing weapons, etc.
Yeah. Perfect example of that is environment art. And we actually still call it environment art, but at Massive, that is more level art. So it's more propping, composition, lighting, and the actual modeling would be a different team and a different discipline that would do that part.
Okay. So yeah, let's speak about a topic that that always comes across my mind, and I speak a lot about with other artists. It's like the application process on some at some companies. It's pretty chaotic, I would say. where you like apply, you get an interview, but you don't hear anything back. You maybe do an art test, you don't get any feedback on the art test. You don't even get a no or something. So what can I do as an artist to maybe get a bit of system in this chaotic application process, or what can I do?
Yeah. First to say, I mean, if you've done an art test and you don't get feedback, then that's really a problem, and that's something's gone wrong there, right? Mm-hmm. So if you take the time to do a test, you should always get feedback. Mm-hmm. And you know, if that happens, not excusing it, but maybe it's workload, maybe it's just not on purpose, but maybe the recruiter just forgets, or they have this super high workload and they didn't have the time to come back to you. And that's not an excuse, but maybe that's just reason behind it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But if you want to get feedback, you know, poke them. Let's take two instances. If you've done a test or had an interview, you know, that's really not acceptable, and that's a different story. If you are just applying and haven't had feedback, then that's something different, right? So the process there would be, firstly, pull up your CV on your screen, pull up the job advertisement, and then do the requirements add up with your experience. You know, you can do your first screening process yourself. If you've had your application rejected and you don't meet the requirements, you know, that's all the feedback you need. Mm-hmm. If you do feel like you meet all the requirements, then maybe it's about your portfolio. Maybe it's your art style is stylized and not realistic. So get somebody to check your art portfolio and make sure it's relevant. Is your application personalized? If you've sent a generic application to 10 companies, expect a generic rejection. Mm-hmm. But if you've personalized your approach, you know, I would take the time to try and give a personalized reason why back. And then lastly, if all those things have happened, reach out. You know, you can approach recruiters on LinkedIn. Most might have an ArtStation portfolio themselves. You can reach out to the company, Instagram, whatever it might be. Find a way to contact, and you'll surely get a reply that way.
So don't hesitate to like ping or poke the recruiters, mm-hmm. and say, hey, what is going on? I applied 2 weeks ago. Maybe you've maybe got missed.
Exactly. But in that order, right? So first, mm-hmm. do your own check. Ask somebody to check your art portfolio. You know, just a second pair of eyes might line something up. And then lastly, once you've ticked all those boxes, then mm-hmm. reach out.
And if you then don't get a reply, then I would say, yeah.
Then question, do you really want to work there if you're not getting any contact?
That's the other thing, right? I would say just let
and
it
if,
go.
Yeah, and in my own experience, whenever I've applied for a job, mm-hmm. I would always reach out to the recruiter or somebody at the company and just say, hey, I'm interested to work here. Could you tell me your story? You know, just to get some insight into the company before you speak to somebody officially.
To see what might have happened or, yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So yeah, we spoke about artists a bit. Let me hear your thoughts on artists in the game industry. This is a really big topic, I know, because I've made some artists some smaller ones and some bigger ones. And yeah, let me hear your thoughts on it.
Maybe this is a cop out, but I think it depends. Depends on the role, depends on your own portfolio, depends on your experience. If you're a senior level artist, you're applying for a level artist role, and you've worked for a very similar company, then an art test is probably not going to be asked for and shouldn't be because you have all the information there from references from the portfolio and so on. But if you like, just to go back to that point, if you do have a different art style, don't be surprised that you're asked to do an art test because you haven't showcased what you need for this particular role. So we need to see it firsthand. So that would be first point. It would only be needed if you haven't demonstrated what the role is about. And then secondly, something we've worked together with me and the hiring managers for the art roles is to try and get the art test super relevant to the position. So we would try and make a new test for a different project, for a different discipline, and then it's about, make sure it's accurate to the role and not too long. So in the shortest time possible, can we measure your skill set for this position? But that's always a work in progress.
So the time, like the length of an artist is for me really important, because like let's say I'm a freelancer and I have to do my day-to-day jobs, my day-to-day stuff, and I can't do an artist that is like a whole environment in 2 weeks or something. But sometimes this was the case in my career, and even when being younger and really wanting to get into the industry, you take those artists because you feel like you have to do them, because then you get the job maybe.
And in fairness, at that point, I mean, if you are junior and you haven't proven yourself yet, then think of the art test as an opportunity to showcase how good you are. It doesn't have to be a bad thing.
You can even grow and learn some things as well.
And if the company's set up correctly, you'll get feedback on the test. So it'll be a learning experience, like a free learning experience. But also, the complaint is it's free labor. And I hear that, and I completely understand when you're given a 10-hour plus test for a job and you have a full-time job, it is tricky to fit that in. But if you're more junior, see it as an opportunity. If you're more senior, I would question, is it really needed?
Great. Yeah, this is a great insight. Yeah, let's speak about a junior position. Because sometimes junior positions are when you see the job requirements, they expect you to have experience. But when the word junior itself isn't without any real experience. But how would you say I can get a job as a junior without experience?
It's a tricky one, and it's probably the most competitive part of your whole career, that first step on the ladder. So I sympathize with everybody trying. It is incredibly difficult. Just to reflect on my own journey, I studied psychology, but I didn't actually start working directly afterwards. Psychology is a typical pathway into HR and recruitment within the business world, but I didn't start working directly. Back then, I was working as a barber for my dad. My dad had a hairdressing company, and that was my job for a couple of years, basically after uni. And at some point, I realized, I love this job. It's super fun. I work with people, but I want to do more. It's not what I want to do for the rest of my life. So then, okay, what can I do? How can I use my degree to get me somewhere in the business world? And this was a clear pathway. I reached out to everyone I could, looking for, work experience, work for free, just to learn from people or hear their story, how they got into different companies. I got a it was not really an internship, but an opportunity to shadow people at Grant Thornton, which is this big accountancy company. And yeah, I mean, I just whatever I could do to learn and grow, and I learned skills online for free, and all of that ended up getting an internship eventually in a job in Portugal. So I pushed and pushed to find something. I took any opportunity that came to me, and yeah, that was my story. So I think there is that option for everybody. If you're really determined, you'll get there eventually, whether it's 1 month or 3 years, depending on the role or the opportunity, just take whatever you can get. But to be specific to junior artists in the games industry, the people that will have the most success are the ones that have the most directly related experience. If you go to a game art specific school, that's your best ticket in. If you go to one of the schools, most typically you'll be offered internships at top studios, and then you're in, right? So then it's just a case of proving yourself to get the full-time position. But yeah, that would be the best pathway in.
Okay.
Maybe just to mention a backup pathway, right? Because if you're too old or too late for school, we wouldn't care too much for the experience if you're an amazing artist. So if you can build out your portfolio and you can learn yourself or get coaching from people on an art station that you reach out to, if you have a fantastic portfolio and there's a junior position posted, you're in with a shot.
Okay.
So the art portfolio is more important than the experience.
So you would say portfolio is king.
Yes.
Okay.
If you're an amazing artist, you'll get opportunities. It might not be at the best gaming company out there, but you'll get opportunities.
Okay, so let's speak about self-taught artists. Like could you give me a number of how many percentage people that apply or get into the studio are self-taught or come from university? Is there kind of are there some statistics for that?
I don't have numbers, but if I'm honest, nowadays all of our intern positions are filled by students. So we wouldn't take on somebody from not a top gaming school. In the past, when Massive was a little bit smaller, maybe not as well known, that was the beginning of the company, right? Before we even took on the division as a project, and we were a coder for a different company for a different project, sorry. Then there was, people joining from all sorts of different backgrounds. So that can tell you something, right? Maybe if you want to work, be the president of the USA, your first job is not going to be in the White House. Maybe it's, you work for your local government or what it might be, and work your way up. But yeah, as a ratio today and the years most recently, we take almost all of our junior positions from interns from schools.
Okay. So this is pretty important when also becoming or wanted to become a junior in years. Okay. So yeah, we spoke about the portfolio a bit that the portfolio is pretty important. What is the first thing that comes to your eyes or that you look for when looking at a portfolio?
Just to say on this one as well, I mean, it is the very first thing I look at. If we have a pool of applications in our tool, there's a link to ArtStation, so everybody can put that there. That's the first thing I click on. I don't even look at the experience. So first thing I click on is ArtStation link and have a look. And then it's some things we've already touched on. So is it a similar art style? Have you showcased work that is relevant to the role you're applying to? Is the quality of the work there? Do you have an abundance of work? Have you specialized? And do you have work that's from other companies, or is it all personal, or is it both? And then all of those tell you different things. It's not that one is better than the other, but if you've got a ton of personal work on characters, but you're applying for a job as a level artist, if the work quality is really good, we're still going to investigate more about you and why is that, and then that's a case for a test. So there's a bit of a hierarchy of running down, what's relevant, but yeah, the quality, the art style, and the amount of work, let's say.
Okay, I always heard the term quality over quantity when going with posting stuff to your or like curating your ArtStation portfolio. What do you say on that? Is it like the quantity that you look at, or is it more like the quality stuff?
Yeah, always quality first and then quantity. So if you have been developing your skills rapidly and you have 30 pieces on ArtStation, and you have everything from when you started to what your quality is today, it's a bit subjective about what is best, but I do hear hiring managers say it's better to drop off your weaker work and only showcase where your skills are today. So it depends also, have you told a story with your portfolio? Is it clear in the documentation? Okay, this was one 5 years ago when I was developing this particular workflow or skill set. But yeah, if you have four pieces that you've done in the last 6 months, that is your very best quality, and the rest of the work is not at that same quality level, just have those four pieces. If you have top quality on everything, yeah, keep it there, of course.
Yeah, let's jump.
And
Sorry, go
sorry, just
ahead.
say you might get different answers on that question because it is super subjective, but I have heard several times the hiring manager say it's better that they would have just had these four pieces at the top.
And
So,
just cut the other stuff out
yeah.
and apply with those four quality pieces, for
Yeah.
example.
And also to say something I said before is, personalize your application. Maybe you have your own website and you have this abundance of artwork, but you showcase on the application the four pieces that are super relevant to this position. And then that's the first thing that people see.
Let's speak about the interviews a bit. What are some absolute no-goes in an interview or application process? What came to your desk, or what did you like experience on the baddest end?
Well, maybe just a funny thing to start with. I had somebody apply once to a job, and they were a radiator fixer. You know, the metal object that keeps you warm in your house. There was somebody that fixes those devices, and they applied for a job as a game designer, and they suggested, "I'm a really good fixer of radiators. Just imagine how good I would be as a game designer." So that's an extreme case, right? But yeah, sometimes that happens, right? Everybody is passionate about games and they want to work in games. But more practically, I would say the biggest one, don't bring up salary until they do.
This is a good point.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about yourself and you're running a company and you're looking to hire somebody, could be whatever size company, but let's say you're the boss and you want to hire somebody. You want to hire somebody that wants to work there, that is motivated, that is interested in what the job entails, the skill sets, that somebody that wants to collaborate with other people and, is a good person to have around. You don't want somebody driven by money, because as soon as somebody else offers them a bigger box or a bigger packet, then yeah, they're just going to go. So don't bring that up until they do. And then it's fine to negotiate, it's fine to push, it's fine to set your expectations. But yeah, just keep that in the background until it's necessary.
Any other things that aren't that good for a application?
It sounds obvious, but don't apply for a job unless you really want it. Right? If you really want a job, you can sit in the interview and just speak the truth, and you can say what you want and what you're looking for, and it lines up perfectly with the job. If you're applying for 30,000 positions all over the world, and then the company from Japan reaches out to you, and you're like, "Oh, I didn't really want to work in Japan," you've just wasted everybody's time. So, yeah, it sounds super obvious, but apply to what you really want. And there's probably an endless list here, but those would just be some big ones off the top of my
Some
head.
are pretty obvious, right?
Yeah.
Let's speak about the pandemic for a bit. I think this is something that happened to all of us.
Yeah.
How did the application process or the remote work like affect the hiring process in your company?
Yeah, it's had a few different, what would you call it, waves. In the beginning, there was just so much uncertainty. So people were reluctant to take that call. They were reluctant to apply. Even if they had applied before, maybe now they're reluctant because, you don't know if you can move countries. Is it safe? People wanted to be closer to their families. So, people that were already working abroad, maybe they wanted to go home. There was a lot of, yeah, uncertainty. That was on the difficult side. On the positive side, people were available. They were at home. So the ones that did want to speak could speak any time of day, and it was really easy to have a conversation. And our process itself was much quicker. Pre-COVID, we would invite every single top candidate for the final interview on site.
So if a US American applies, you fly them over to Malmö
So
and then
final call, everybody flies in. And that was a lot of coordination, a lot of planning. you can't just fly in tomorrow. You have to line up with vacation or plan 2, 3 weeks ahead sometimes. So yeah, that really reduced the time of the process. Sorry, increased the time of the process. And then that itself had pros and cons, right? The person that was recruit or the candidate never had an opportunity to see the city if they hadn't already been here. They didn't have a chance to meet people in person. Everything's through video. And as much as you can read body language through video, it's never the same as in person.
Yeah, you can't really.
Yeah. So that, yeah, that was something. And then as we move through time and things become a bit more clear, the pandemic seemed to be over in certain moments. And in those moments, then people were very eager and looking for an adventure, right? If you've been working from home for over a year, trapped in your tiny little office, if you even
Oh
have an
yeah.
office at home,
Yeah.
that call to adventure, that call for something new, that reevaluation of your life, and is this really where I want to be and what I want to do? No, this thing over here sounds great. Let's go try that. So nowadays, there's the opposite, and people are super eager to speak and looking for something new, basically.
So yeah, how are people now? Are they coming back to the office or
Yeah, I mean, everyone's done it a bit differently. Even within Ubisoft, different studios have had different policies. But in Sweden, there is quite a relaxed set of controls compared to other countries. And here, it's been safe to be in the office since October. So since October 2021, we've pretty much had everybody back.
Okay. So yeah, as you're coming from a psychological background, let's speak about some not just hard skills that you mentioned. Let's speak about some soft skills that you want to see in candidates. Because as an artist, there are some different types of people. Some of them are really open-minded. They want to share stuff. They want to really communicate with other people. And there are also artists in my experience that are really, yeah, they are a loner type of person. They want to be alone. They want to just do their work, sit down, really hustle, get into tunnel vision or something. So how is it for you as a recruiter to kind of get that feeling from an interview perspective?
Well, I think what you're talking about is something called the Big Five, is the Big Five personality traits. And in psychology, that is a set of traits that you can't really get any smaller. So you have extroversion, introversion as a scale, and that's loosely what you spoke about. You have openness, agreeableness, conscientiousness. What's missing? Neuroticism. So those are Big Five scales. If you do a personality test and you ask a million different questions, if you categorize those questions and make the categories as small as possible, you'll end up with those five categories. So, I mean, that's something I'm aware of as a student of psychology. And it's not that one profile is better than another. If you're an extrovert or an introvert, it's not that one person is better or a better artist. It's just a way of being and a way of working, a need to work with people or a need to work alone. And both of these things can be true for the same job. So it's more awareness. One other example with openness. So really open and creative people tend to think laterally. So they jump from idea to idea and they can connect seemingly unrelated topics together. Whereas somebody who might work more in a production role would think more vertically. So they connect everything within the same column. And if you're an artist in a lead studio and you're a concept artist for, a brand new game idea, it's probably going to help you to think laterally and have these connected ideas. But if you're an artist in outsourcing and it's more a case of, get these things out there and it's the brief is done, everything's decided, but it's more like, okay, get it done. Maybe it helps to think more vertically. So that would be one example where the personality can be useful in different positions. What was the question again? I lost track.
So what like what soft skills are you really looking for in candidates?
Okay, yeah. And it is things we've touched on, right? A willingness to learn is so key. If you're a continual learner and developer, you're going to go a long way. Even if you're starting very poorly, You can, if you improve 1% every day, that's a lot, and it compounds over time. So continual learners, good communicators, you don't have to, if you're introverted, you don't have to work in a team every single day and speak to people. You can have your task, but when it's time to communicate ideas, speak clearly, speak what you need from the team, what your expectations are. Communication, learning. What else would be key for, motivation. I mean, just make sure things I've shared again is this where you want to be? Are you happy going to work every day? And if you're not, speak out and change the things that you're not happy about.
So yeah, Sebastian, that's mostly it from my side. I think you gave in this short time a pretty good insight on like how to land a games job, or what every artist can improve on, and how to get a better candidate for companies like Massive as well. Thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Okay, Sebastian, then I hope you have a nice week and I wish you a nice day.
Thanks a lot. All right.
Take
Bye-bye.
care. Bye bye.